Are you by any chance a perfectionist? You have high standards for yourself, yet you struggle to acknowledge your achievements. If your answer is yes, or you know someone like that, then this is for you. Perfectionism lies at the root of much unhappiness. Indeed, perfectionist attitudes often correlate with poor mental health like anxiety, depression, eating disorders, and even suicidal thoughts. Pablo Martinez, a Christian psychiatrist, talks about the inner policeman, a nagging voice telling us we've not done enough, we've not done it right, and when he gets the upper hand, we're in spiritual and psychological trouble. In The Perfection Trap by Thomas Curran, he identifies three kinds of perfectionism. The first is from outside pressure, like the Christian leader who feels that his congregation expect him to be a perfect example. The second is the pressure I create for myself, like the young man sobbing his heart out because he came second in a test at school. And there's a toxic combination of these two loose on social media, fueling the doomed quest to look fabulous. The third kind are those who pressurise others to be perfect. As one man said to me, my jeans loaded the gun, but my boss pulled the trigger. Now, some of the things that drive us are good, others are not. There's a difference, says Pablo Martinez, between neurotic or compulsive perfectionism and the search for excellence. He says the latter is related to spiritual maturity and seeks to please God, but the former arises from insecurity and very much needs the approval of others. We should seek excellence. When Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, that's Matthew 5, verse 28, this is what he meant. Think of a screwdriver. A perfect screwdriver is one that's right for the job. It feels nice in your hand and the blade fits the screw slots exactly. So for the English word perfect, substitute the phrase right for the job. We should seek excellence, but avoid neurotic perfectionism. Paul writes of two kinds of sorrow in his second letter to the Corinthians. Here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 onwards. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Let me paraphrase that teaching. Godly sorrow, we perform badly, we learn some lessons, we bash on, that enhances life. Worldly sorrow, we perform badly, we enter a downward spiral of self-recrimination and guilt, we make ourselves ill, that's death. So we should tell ourselves every day that it's okay to fail because we know the God who'll always be delighted with his children, so you can repent and move on. Do you know why? Here's why. Nothing you can do can make him love you more. And nothing that you've done can make him close the door. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you could come. Shortly after our second child was born, I went shopping. I was in a hurry, as usual, and my guts were in a knot, as usual. I'd felt anxious since our first child and the feelings had tightened with the second. I was rushing through a newsagent's when a book caught my eye. It was called The Good Enough Parent. I looked at the title and my anxiety disappeared, never to return. For some reason, in that moment, the penny had dropped. I was trying to be a perfect dad and it was making me ill. Kathy, my wife, put it in a nutshell. You can't be Christ, but you can be Christ-like. Not perfect, but fit for purpose. That is my calling. I am free.